Welcome to Radio America, broadcasting those great old-time radio shows from south of the Mason-Dixon line, from the heart of Charlotte, North Carolina, bringing to you those retro sounds of yesteryear, from the days of glory and honor and strong family values. Whether you're young or old, you're sure to enjoy these great shows. So sit back and relax and enjoy the sounds of Radio America. And be sure to tell a friend about our show's website, radioamerica.podomatic.com.
Local Blue Coal dealer presents The Shadow. These half-hour dramatizations are designed to forcibly demonstrate to old and young alike that crime does not pay. The Shadow's adventure begins in just a moment. But first, do you know exactly what the blue coloring on blue coal means? Well, that's the trademark of the Glen Alden Coal Company, the world's largest hard coal producer. And it's placed on their product, Blue Coal, to guarantee that you're getting a superior quality anthracite. So insist on blue coal when you order anthracite for the coming winter. Your entire family will appreciate blue coal's greater heating comfort. You'll appreciate blue coal's greater heating economy. Call your dealer for your supply of blue coal tomorrow. Shadow, mysterious character who aids those in distress and helps the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the unseen voice belongs. The only one who knows the true identity of that master of other people's minds, the Shadow. Today's story, Shyster Payoff.
Commissioner Weston, my paper wants to know what you're doing about this wave of holdup.
I hear you're resigning, Commissioner.
What about the mayor's statement, Weston?
Yes, come on, let's have your story.
Wait a minute.
Come on.
Wait a minute, boys. Right. I'll give you a statement.
Right. Okay, Commissioner, thanks.
Sure, we're having a crime wave. But the police department is as good as you'll find in any city. We make arrests. The trouble is the district attorney's office can't get convictions. But it isn't the DA's fault that the work of his office is hampered by a political fixer and a shyster lawyer.
Can we quote you on that?
Yeah, how about naming the shyster, Commissioner Weston?
Who's the political fixer? Come on, give us some more.
Hold it, boys, hold it. What is it, Sergeant?
There's a call in your office, Commissioner Weston.
Sorry, boys. That's all. See you later. Who is it? The mayor?
No, it's him again.
Who are you talking about? Who's him?
The Shadow.
The Shadow? If I haven't got enough troubles. All right, I'll talk to him. I'll call you if I need you.
Yes, sir.
All right, Shadow. What is it this time?
Good afternoon, Commissioner Weston. Did you enjoy your conference with the gentleman of the press?
You know everything, don't you?
You flatter me, Commissioner.
All right, let's have it.
Commissioner, do my ears deceive me, or did I really detect a note of, shall we say, welcome in your voice?
Listen, Shadow, I'll admit you have helped the police department at times, and I'm willing to accept tips or help from you just as I would from any other citizen. I take it you are a citizen and are interested in law enforcement.
Yes, Commissioner Weston. I am a citizen, and I am interested in law enforcement.
I wish there were more like that. But you didn't call me to exchange compliments. What do you want?
I called, Commissioner, to make a deal.
A deal? For yourself, Shadow?
No. Merely a deal whereby you will be ready to round up a criminal syndicate, headed by Tiger, the notorious shyster lawyer, Grogan, the political fixer, and Red Doyle, the gangster.
You're crazy, Shadow. We know they're all crooks, but we can't prove it.
Suppose I could produce proof.
I wouldn't arrest a combination like that without an ironclad case. I wouldn't last 24 hours if the rap didn't stick. They'd have my job.
You'll have your ironclad case, Commissioner Weston. Wait until you hear from me.
Your Honor, may it please the court. I submit that the indictment against my client, Harry Dale, is improperly drawn, and I therefore ask that the state's case be dismissed.
I object, Your Honor!
The indictment against Harry Dale is properly drawn under Section 73 of the Penal Code. Order! Order in the court!
Just a moment, gentlemen. The jury will please retire, for I hear your arguments on a point of law which is not within the province of their deliberation. Very well, Mr. Tigert, Mr. Prosecutor, step to the bar. I will hear your arguments as to the validity of this indictment.
Lamont Cranston, would you mind telling me why we've been following this lawyer, Rex Tigert, from court to court, watching him plead case after case?
Just to give my very lovely assistant, Margot Lane, a cook's tour of the more unpleasant side of the legal profession. How do you like Tigert, Margot?
He reminds me of a snake. What's he doing now, Lamont?
Tigert is pulling another legal technicality and snatching another criminal from the hands of the law.
How does he get away with it?
The law, Margot, is flexible. But its flexibility can be used by shyster lawyers like Tigert to provide loopholes.
Order! Silence in the court!
Watch what happens now.
Order! Silence in the court. Mr. Prosecutor, I regret I must agree with the arguments of counsel for the defense, Mr. Tigert.
I protest, Your Honor! I protest!
Due to the testimony given by the defense, and because of this technical error in the indictment, I must dismiss the case against Harry Dale and discharge the jury.
Lamont, Tigert just went into that apartment building. How much longer are we going to follow him around in the car?
I've got to follow Tigert, watch every move he makes, Margot. I promised Commissioner Weston an airtight case. I'm getting proof of a vicious racket. A racket that forces innocent people into a life of crime.
Where are you going, Lamont?
I'm going to follow Tigert into that apartment as the shadow. I have an idea Tigert is about to collect his fee for defending a recent client. Stay here, Margot. Wait till I return.
Tigert, why have you come to my apartment? My brother's not here. My brother's not here, I tell you. I've given you every cent I have, every cent I can raise for defending him.
For saving your brother from the electric chair, Ruth Dale.
But my brother was innocent.
Yes, but the evidence was all against him. Your brother is alive, free, only because of my knowledge of the law and your perjured testimony.
Why, you made me testify falsely. You told me it was the only way to save my brother.
Yes, yes, I did. You want him tried again on the evidence? I can arrange it. And I can have you arrested for perjury, sent to prison.
Oh, no, no, please, let me alone.
Your brother needs money. You need money. I can show you both how to make a lot of it. Quite easily.
We won't do anything criminal.
My plans are quite simple. You look like a girl accustomed to buying expensive jewels. You have only to go into jewelry shops and ask to see certain gems. When they are shown to you, it won't be your fault if your brother and others happen in and take them away.
And suppose we refuse?
You will go to prison for perjury, and the electric chair will be waiting for your brother.
Driving, Lamont.
Sorry, Margot. Wherever Tigert goes, we go.
Oh, I detest Tigert. But I'm glad he was able to get Dr. Lambert's parole. I never did believe Dr. Lambert was responsible for that woman's death.
Yes, Margot. I'm glad Lambert is out, too. But I'm sorry for anyone Tigert helps.
Lamont, do you think Tigert needs to force him into his crime syndicate, too?
Yes, Margot. The way he's done to Ruth Dale and her brother and many of us.
Oh, but those poor people he's forcing into crime must be helped. Why don't you tell Commissioner Weston?
I'm not ready, Margot. It takes a lot of fine threads to make a web of evidence to catch a slippery eel like Tigert. Besides, there are others. I'm out to get political fixer Grogan, Red Doyle the gangster. They're part of Tigert's crime syndicate.
Lamont, it's raining so hard I can't see. Where are we?
Outside the home of Dr. John Lambert, late of Lingate Prison. And look,
yes.
There in the driveway, Tigert's car.
What's the next move, Lamont?
Margot. You drive down
the
road.
Yes, I know, Lamont, and wait.
I'm sorry, Margot. I know it's cold and wet, but I won't be long. I have a notion, Margot, that we'll drive away from here with an ironclad case for Commissioner Weston.
Well, go on, Lamont. I'll wait. Good luck, Sharon.
Oh,
Why did you get me out, Tigers? What good am I to myself or to anybody? A doctor convicted of murder without a right to practice. Where can I go? The parole board said I can't leave the state. What can I do? The board says I'll be sent back to prison if I don't get a job. Why didn't you let me serve out my sentence? Why didn't you leave me alone?
Easy, take it easy. Because I can use you, Dr. Lambert. I have connections, friends who need a doctor they can trust.
Oh, who would trust me?
You can be trusted. Because you have reason to hate and fear the law as much as these connections of mine.
But I've got to have a legitimate job or I'll be sent back to prison.
I'll arrange that.
All right, what do I have to do?
Straighten your line as a surgeon. You'll be ready, day or night, to treat gunshot wounds, remove bullets, perhaps graft skin and change faces which have unfortunately found their way into the rogues' gallery of the police.
What's in it for me?
Money. Money you'll need for that fresh start when your year's probation is over.
You'd let me go when my probation's up a year from now?
Sure. That's fair enough, isn't it?
Just for 1 year. 12 months. Then money and a chance to get away. Far away. All right, Tiger, I'll do it. When do I start?
I'm afraid, Doctor, you'll have to wait until one of my connections gets hurt. Meanwhile, you're 200 as a retainer. Tell the probation board you're working for me as an investigator, but keep away from my law office. Just stay here and wait till you hear from me.
All right, I understand.
Maybe a week even before you get a call. But when it comes, go where you are told. And keep your mouth shut. Or you'll go back to the big house for another stretch. That's all, Dr. Lambert.
A shyster lawyer. A shyster doctor. You're in good company, John Lambert. Good company. Oh, I've got to stop talking to myself. I'm not in solitary. I'm free. I'm not in prison anymore. What was that? That voice?
No, you're still in prison. You're not free, John Lambert. You'll never be free. They'll never let you go.
A voice. It laughed. It spoke to me. It answered me. Oh, am I losing my mind?
No, Lambert. You're quite sane. But unless you listen to me, you're entering another kind of bondage.
But what is this voice? It can't happen. It can't.
There is more than a voice in this room. I am quite real. Quite close to you. As close as Rex Tigert was a few moments ago.
Hypnosis.
Yes, hypnosis. I'm here in this room, but I've clouded your mind so that you cannot see me.
But who are you? What do you want?
John Lambert, haven't you ever heard a certain name whispered through the dark cells of Lyngate Prison? A name associated with the unseen? A name criminals hate and fear?
The Shadow. You are the Shadow?
Yes, but you have no reason to fear me. I believe you're an innocent man, unjustly convicted.
The newspaper said I was innocent, too. But I went to prison just the same for 7 long years. Now, Tiger has offered me money, then freedom after a year. What can you offer, Shadow?
A chance to be true to your profession, to yourself.
I have no profession. They took that away from me, and they took my self-respect, too. I'm not Dr. John Lambert, the surgeon. I'm ex-con number 2847, convicted murderer, out on parole because of a shyster, dirty shyster lawyer. There is no more Dr. John Lambert.
You're wrong. That was John Lambert speaking just now, crying out against this bargain you've made with Tiger, a swine who never kept a bargain in his life.
Oh, yes. You're right, Shadow. I can't go through with it. And yet if I don't, Tigert will send me back. You know, he can. He has influence.
I, too, have influence and power, Dr. Lambert.
Doctor. Dr. Lambert. It's been 7 years and anybody called me doctor without a sneer or a laugh.
What would you give to regain your professional honor? To escape Tigert's bondage?
Oh, don't, Shadow. Please.
The law can make amends.
The law.
It needs your help.
Why should I help the law? It destroyed me.
You can help put an end to criminal slavery such as Tigert offers you and countless others. You can help wipe out a vicious racket that enslaves poor unfortunates more than the prison from which they were released.
Prison. Bondage. Yes, that's it. It's bondage. Not freedom, not hope.
You'll never be free. You'll never have hope. Unless.
Unless what, Shadow?
Unless you help me put Tigert and his kind behind bars.
All right, Shadow. I will. I'll do it. I'll do anything you say, because I know I can trust you. Even the men you sent to Lyngate, the men who hate and fear you, swear you never break your word.
I'll keep my word, Dr. Lambert.
Tell me what you want me to do.
Do nothing until Tigert's associates call you. Then go where they tell you. But before you go, I want you to phone a certain number.
What number, Shadow?
It's written on the old prescription pad on your desk.
On the old prescription pad?
Yes, Dr. Lambert. On the prescription pad. See it there? Old. 7 years, yellowed with age. But that number will bring the Shadow to you, wherever you go. And it will mark the beginning of the road back for you and many others. If you do not fail me. If you do not fail. The Shadow.
In just a moment, we continue with The Shadow's gripping adventure. But first, a warning to all homeowners. Despite the present warm spell, advance reports from meteorologists predict the severest winter in 11 years. So there's no time like right now to order your supply of anthracite. It's the fuel furnaces in this section were especially designed to burn. And it's the fuel which will give you more even, dependable, and helpful heat at less cost. But when you order your supply, don't be content with just any anthracite. Insist on blue coal and be sure of getting America's finest anthracite. Blue coal is the only trademarked hard coal. It's a guaranteed product of the Glen Alden Coal Company, the world's largest anthracite producer. Each carload, as it comes from their mines, is carefully tested by inspectors. Only the coal which meets Glen Alden's highest standards of quality is accepted for shipment and trademarked a harmless blue for easy identification. You'll welcome blue coal's greater economy. It burns better, banks better, gives you longer firing periods. So call and order your supply of blue coal tomorrow. Your dealer's name is listed in the Where to Buy It section of your classified telephone directory under the words blue coal. And be sure to ask your dealer about the blue coal heat regulator. It's a thermostat which controls your furnace dampers automatically and saves you all the time and trouble of constant furnace attention. It costs only $18.95, plus a nominal installation charge.
This is the end of the trail, Margot.
I hope so, Lamont. When did Dr. Lambert phone you?
About an hour ago. Tiger ordered him to go to the old Empire Hotel.
Where's that?
Along the beach, about 3 blocks from here. Slow the car down, Margot.
I thought every hotel out here was closed for the winter.
They are. So it makes an ideal headquarters for Tiger's mob.
Why don't you let Commissioner Weston round them up, Lamont? You've done enough.
No, Margot. I promised Weston an airtight case. I've got to be sure the whole outfit is caught with the goods before I give Weston the word to close in.
What makes you so sure this will be the finish?
It's the logical time for the gang to be paid off, Margot. Those 3 big jewel robberies this week, all unquestionably Tigert's gang. A girl going into the stores and asking to see certain valuable gems.
Well, that was Ruth Dale, all right. The description fitted perfectly. But why did they call for Dr. Lambert?
The driver of the getaway car was shot, Margot. Are they 2-1? Lambert is treating him right now.
Be careful, he doesn't have to take a bullet out of the shadow.
Oh. Stop right here, Margot. Yeah, this is close enough. Now, Margot, wait and keep the short wave tuned in on the band the shadow always uses. Phone Weston the minute I give the word. Then go straight back to town and wait for me.
Lamont, if I don't hear from you in an hour...
You'll still stay away from the Empire Hotel, Margot Lane. That's an order.
Lamont Cranston, there are times when I wish I'd never heard of the shadow. Well, go on, Lamont, and get this over with.
Give me a drink. Give me my cut, sir. Shut door. Tiger, get wrong me, sir. I don't want to burn.
There. Easy now. Please take it easy.
Listen, Doc.
Yes?
Keep that guy quiet. Give him something to shut him up. That's what we're paying you for.
The man is delirious, Doyle. Why didn't you call me sooner?
Fix him up and don't ask so many questions.
Where's Tiger?
He's in the next room. What do you care? Now, you do as you're told and shut that guy up.
Come on, Doyle. Let's get this flip ticket
out. Okay, Tiger. Keep your shirt on. I'm coming.
Doyle, don't hit me. Throw me down.
I'm sorry, fellow, but I guess I'll have to put you under. Oh, why doesn't the shadow come? They're all here. Why doesn't he come?
I am here, Dr. Lambert. I've been here for several minutes.
Shadow, thank heaven you found the place.
Well, Tiger,
give the man a hypo if he can stand it. Put him to sleep.
I've already given it to him, but he should be in a hospital.
He'll be on his way to a hospital in a few minutes.
Are those the men you want out there, Shadow? Red Doyle is the actual leader of the gang, but Tiger gives the order. I don't know anything about Grogan.
Grogan is the rottenest of the lot. He's a political fixer, without whom no big gang can operate.
I know, but you're not going to tackle them alone.
No, but we're going to hold them in the next room until the police can close in. Commissioner Weston is waiting for word from me. Can you handle a gun?
Yes. Here, this wounded man has gone under. He won't give us any trouble.
Good. Quick now. Take his gun over there on the table.
All right, Shadow. It's loaded.
Good. Now pocket that gun. Go in that other room. Get as close to Tiger as you can. When I speak, grab Tiger and shove that gun in his back. Don't let anyone get behind you.
All right, Shadow. You haven't failed me so far, and I trust you now.
Phone Weston at the 17th Precinct Station. He is there, ready and waiting. Tell him to surround and raid the Empire Hotel. Break into basement. Let no one escape. Let no one escape. That is all.
All right, Tiger. The split is all figured out. Now, here's the payoff sheet.
All right, Doyle. Pay off the punks first and get them out of here.
Okay. Come here, Root Dale. Now, here's your cut. $50.
I don't want it. I won't take it. $50. $50 for turning criminal, helping rob three jewelry stores. You got $50,000 worth of gems. The newspaper said so.
Ah, quit reading the papers. They always double a haul.
$50 for helping you.
The fence only paid us $10,000 for the stuff. There was five of my regular boys who did the dirty work. $1,000 for Tiger, the Springers, if things went haywire. $1,000 to Grogan for a fix just in case and the getaway car.
You better take it, Ruth. There's no other way.
Take it or leave it. Only remember what I told you. The electric chair is still waiting for your brother here.
Oh, please, I don't want the money. I don't care. Just let us
out. Out of the way, Dame. All right, Dale. Here's your cut. $100.
Don't take it, Harry. Don't.
Better take your share, Dale. Next time I may not be able to spring you.
No, my sister's right. I didn't want to get mixed up in this. You made me, Tigers. I'm getting out with Ruth.
Don't try it. Nobody quits. All right, now beat it, punk. Go on upstairs. Doyle and Grogan and I have got some things to talk over.
Well, what about me, Tiger?
Almost forgot you, Lambert. Didn't see you standing behind me. Give the doc 200, Doyle. How are the patients?
As well as could be expected.
Don't worry if you lose him. He's a dumbbell anyhow.
Come on, Doyle. That's you, Tiger, and me get down to business.
Okay, okay, Grogan. Come on, Dale. You and your sister and Lambert, beat it.
Not so fast, gentlemen.
Okay, what's that? What was that?
Just an unseen guest at the Division of the Spoils of Crime.
Tiger, there's only one guy that lives like that. A guy nobody's even seen.
The Shadow.
Yes, Tiger. The Shadow.
Of course, he's come for a cut. Give it to him. He's poison. Yeah,
he'll get a cut.
Stand still, Tiger. Don't move.
Lambert! What are you doing? Let go of me! Take that gun out of my back, you fool! Doyle! Grogan! Help me!
They move, I'll shoot, Tiger.
Well done, Dr. Lambert. Careful, Tiger.
Lambert, you double-crossing...
Shut up, Tiger. Doyle! Throw your gun on the table. Throw it. Now you, Grogan.
I don't carry a gun.
Harry Dale, search Grogan.
Right.
Miss Dale, you search Tiger.
All right.
Grogan hasn't got a gun, Shadow.
Tiger hasn't either.
Don't move. Those sirens mean Commissioner Weston and the police are coming to the Feast of the Unholy Three.
Shadow, I don't want to get mixed up with this gang. Tiger arranged my parole and forced me into it.
Will you tell that to a grand jury, Dale?
Yes. Yes, I'll testify. I'll testify against them. And my sister will too, won't you, Ruth?
Yes, I'll tell the police everything. I'll tell them, Shadow.
If you turn state's evidence, you'll both go free. I have Commissioner Weston's promise.
So you're working with Commissioner Weston, eh, Shadow?
I've always worked for law and order. Keep away from those books on the table, Grogan. Dale, pick up those books. Hold on to them. Give them to Weston when he gets here.
You can't pin anything on me, Shadow.
Your name is in those books. You're on the payroll, Grogan. Those books will send you up for 20 years.
The cops are coming down here, Tiger. Don't move, Tiger.
Stay where you are, Doyle.
Stand where you are, all of you. Don't move.
Mr. Weston, here are the gang's books.
Thanks, Dale. I know all about you. All right, Dr. Lambert, you can take that gun out of Tiger's back. I know all about you, too.
You sweat for this, Weston.
Well, if it isn't my old pain in the neck, Grogan, a political fixer.
Yeah. He's part of the gang. He's on the payroll.
You
the
ain't
proof
got nothing
on
me. What about this girl here, Commissioner?
She's all right, too. Don't put the cuffs on her. Red Doyle, Tiger, Grogan. What a night's work.
You never pin anything on me, Weston.
Save your shyster breath for the trial, Tiger. All right, take him away, boys.
Right here, Commissioner.
Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Take Harry Dale and his sister Ruth and Dr. Lambert to my office. Get their statements and have them wait for me.
Yes, Commissioner.
There's a wounded man in the other room, Commissioner. He's badly hurt.
Sergeant, get him and rush him to the hospital. All right, boys, take these crooks out of here.
Get right here,
Shadow?
Yes, Commissioner.
Thanks. You certainly handed me an airtight case against three of the biggest crooks in the city.
You'll keep your promise to help Dr. Lambert, Dale, and his sister?
You kept your promise. I'll keep mine.
That's all I ask.
You're a strange man, Shadow. That's all you ever ask.
I told you I was just a citizen interested in law enforcement, in seeing the innocent protected and the guilty punished. Goodbye, Commissioner. Until we meet again.
In just a moment, we have a surprise for you. A preview of next week's exciting Shadow adventure. But first, here's John Barclay, Blue Coal's heating expert, with some more helpful information to all householders. Mr. Barclay.
Thank you, Ken Roberts, and good evening, friends. Many people write in to tell me that they don't get the best heating results from the amount of coal they put on the fire. Well, that may be caused by losing heat up the chimney. Chimney loss is a common source of trouble and unnecessary waste of coal. However, it's an easy matter to remedy. The next time you fix the fire, move the handle of your turn damper, that disc inside the smoke pipe, 1/16 of an inch toward the closed position. If the fire continues to burn freely, turn it another 1/16 of an inch. Repeat this operation until you've moved the turn damper as near as possible to the closed position. For the nearer the turn damper to the closed position, the smaller the chimney loss. When you've found the ideal adjustment, mark the position with a piece of chalk on the smoke pipe and leave your dampers there throughout the burning season. If you find you have any other particular heating problem, I'd suggest you call your blue coal dealer. He'll place a trained John Barclay heating serviceman at your disposal. You'll find him fully qualified to check over your furnace and show you how to get better heat at less cost. I thank you.
Now a preview of next week's Shadow Story, Black Rock.
Martin, and you too, Ward.
Yeah.
You're working for me now. What I say goes.
Okay, Burkett, we get it.
What's the gag? A big business executive like you turning crook.
Shut up, you two, and listen to me. Now, here's the setup. I'm going to steal, or shall I say acquire, the entire profits, $2 million, of my company.
Oh, boy, I get it, and then leave all the poor stockholders holding the bag.
You'd take candy from a baby, wouldn't you?
Don't worry. You two guys, you'll get your cut.
Will innocent stockholders be robbed by an unscrupulous profiteer, or will the Shadow be able to protect them? Find out next week when you hear the Shadow's newest adventure, Black Rock. This program has been a dramatized version of one of the many copyrighted stories which appear in the Shadow magazine, now on sale at your local newsstand. All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, Blue Coal, America's finest anthracite, will again present The Shadow. Be sure to listen and be sure to burn blue coal, the solid fuel for solid comfort.
Radio America, where the golden days of radio live again.
Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The Shadow knows.
Local Blue Coal Dealer presents The Shadow. These half-hour dramatizations are designed to forcibly demonstrate to old and young alike that crime does not pay.
Before this afternoon's adventure with The Shadow begins, here's advice every homeowner will profit by following. When you order your next supply of fuel, ask for Blue Coal. Then you'll enjoy steady, dependable heating comfort and satisfaction such as you've never known before. Countless thousands of American families have found from experience what a tremendous difference blue coal makes. It burns down to a fine ash, leaving no wasted, unburned coal. And it gives steadier, healthier heat with less furnace attention. So if you want the solid fuel for solid comfort, insist on blue coal by name. Call your dealer for your supply tomorrow. The Shadow, mysterious character who aids those in distress and helps the forces of law and order, is in reality Lamont Cranston, wealthy young man about town. Cranston's friend and companion, the lovely Margot Lane, is the only person who knows to whom the unseen voice belongs. The only one who knows the true identity of that master of other people's minds, The Shadow. Today's story, Valley of the Living Dead.
desert scenery is simply magnificent, Lamont. Why, this alone was worth the trip.
Yes. And I think that's the mountain range over there that I've been looking for. Sort of saw-teeth edge to it.
Looking for a mountain range? The whole thing seems silly to me. Long trip just because you heard of a rumor that there's a valley someplace behind a saw-toothed mountain where people act peculiarly. What's behind this rumor?
That's just what I'm going to find out, Margot.
Yes? Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I want some gas.
Huh?
And I also want to know the best road up that mountain over there.
Oh, there ain't no road over that mountain you can drive on, mister.
No road? Well, what's the matter with that one right ahead there?
That's no good. Dangerous. And see, ain't many folks besides me has been in that valley. And, brother, I'm going to live there someday.
Well, if you can go alone, Timothy Hicks. I'll have plenty of time to rot when I'm dead and in my grave.
What's that you said?
I said I'd have long enough to rot when I'm in my grave.
Don't pay no attention to her, missus. She don't know nothing. Why, on the other side of that there range, they got the slickest place you ever seen. Put it in a round valley. There's only one thing, though. You gotta be busted to live there.
You can't have any money?
Yep, busted. Why, the folks in there get the houses given to them and food, everything.
You mean a sort of a state poor farm?
Nope, nothing like that. It's private. Owned by Mr. Maxim. Kindest man that ever was. Yes, indeed. Well, there you are, mister. All fixed up.
About how many people live in that valley?
Well, I wouldn't know exactly. There's maybe 800, 900. I ain't been in since they prospected for gold. Boy, they sure hit a vein.
Well, then they must have plenty of money in there.
Nope, they ain't. See, while Mr. Maxim was in the east, those folks got some capital in from the outside to work the mine. Yep, but then he came back. Maxim come back too soon. Gosh, was he mad. Put a stop to it as quick as cat.
Gold? And he put a stop to it?
Yeah, I ain't supposed to have no money in there.
Probably can't tell a nickel from a dime, but now. Me, I can't see myself without a bit of change in my hand now and then. Not me. Ain't got nothing in there I want. No radios, theaters, stores, nothing.
Well, Lamont Cranston, there's certainly no great wrong here to right. I suggest we give up the whole thing and make this a pleasure trip for a change.
Sorry, Margot. Here you are, Hicks.
Oh, thanks, mister. Hey, mister, be on the watch for boulders rolling across the road there.
Well, here's where we leave the paved road and start climbing.
There's a sign. Danger, drive up this road at your own risk.
Oh, yes, I see it. And I assure you it interests me, Margot. In view of what our friend back there just warned us.
There comes the boulder now, Lamont. Bigger than this car.
You're right.
Oh.
Well, strange. You ain't missed us anyhow.
Now will you turn back? The road isn't safe.
Well, that one might be just coincidence, Margot. It's a fine road. Nothing wrong with it. Good all the way up, far as I can see.
There's another boulder.
Yes, coming right down this path.
Yeah.
Hold fast.
Oh, thank goodness that missed us too. Lamont, there's no coincidence about those boulders rolling down.
No, you're right, Margot. Unless I'm mistaken, it's an electric eye. And it starts them as surely as it would open a door.
Well, then, for pity's sake, let's get out of here. We'll be smashed to bits. I've had enough of this whole thing.
Before the sun sets, Margot, we're going to be in that valley. But we're going in by plane.
But it all seems so unnecessary, Lamont. Going and getting this plane, there can't be anything wrong. Not with this man Maxim on the job. Stays so kind and all that.
Margot, never in my life have I felt a more compelling certainty that something was wrong. At any rate, we'll know the moment we're over the jagged teeth of this ridge below. Yeah. Look, Margot. There's the valley. Apply lower. Look closely.
Lamont, this is low enough.
Yes, 100 feet. And look. Look at those people closely, Margot. As they move along the streets. The lifelessness of them.
Well, no traffic. Keep them jumping. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong.
Children half-heartedly at play. No work being done anywhere.
Men sprawled on the grass.
Well, what of it, Lamont?
Cut off from the outside world. No work to do, no amusements. Nothing for mind or muscle to feed on. Why, Margot, that place is like a stagnant pool covered with green slime. Beautiful to look at, but filled with decay.
Well, maybe you're right, Lamont. Even the women don't stop to talk to one another. They don't even look up at the sound of the plane.
And over there, just beyond the dam, are the gold mines, latest equipment lying idle.
And a chance for everybody to make a lot of money. Look, what's that back against the hill? Oh, it's a sort of castle.
Now, wait a minute, Margot. That standard flying from the turret there. It has a name on it. I'll try to get closer and make it out. Let's see, Ingram A. Maxim. Ingram Maxim. Why, I know who this fellow is now.
You do?
In college. I was just a freshman. He was taking postgraduate. A bald, thin little man, always helping some of the fellows. Why, he was rich as Croesus even then. Hang on, Margot. I'm going to set her down on the other side of the dam. Find out what this is all about.
Why don't they answer, Lamont?
We'll keep on knocking until they do. Wait. I saw the curtain move in the window up there.
Please, Lamont, let's go back to the plane. I feel weak. What was that?
I don't know. It's horrible. Margot. Oh. Good heavens, Margot. Oh. Here, you're not fainting.
Oh. The lady has fainted.
Mr. Maxim, please. I prefer to carry her.
I will carry her. No one here dictates to Maxim. There. Now, precede me into the house, if you will, sir. And now, with the little lady well taken care of, we shall dine together. Cranston, we talk over the old days. You see, I remember you. Indeed, I have the faculty of remembering everybody I ever see.
I couldn't forget you, naturally. Always doing such kind things to help the less fortunate chaps at college.
That's nothing. Nothing at all. Now, here, of course, I have much larger opportunities.
Yes, undoubtedly. Something's been puzzling me, Maxim. Those boulders rolling down into the road. I'm curious to know how you work that.
I have my own ways, Mr. Cranston, of protecting this valley of mine from intruders. I want nothing from the outside world to touch my people. Nothing.
Where's Mother? I can't move.
You're all right, Margot. I'm right here.
Keep your arms under the blankets, little lady. That's it.
But I'm not cold. I'm smothering.
Too much exertion, my dear, coming down that steep path from the dam. Women's delicate bodies were not built for harsh exertion. You see, they... Serena, what are you doing here? Why did you leave your room in your wheelchair without my help?
Is the lady sick, Maxim? Are you sick too, my dear?
No. No, nothing wrong with me. Just a little chill.
Miss Lane, my wife.
How do you do?
Mr. Cranston.
How do you do? Did you suffer an injury of some sort, Mrs. Maxim? That you should have to be in a wheelchair?
No. Oh, no. I've always been strong. But after the birth of my son, I think that was when
My dear, you are exerting yourself too much. You must go to your room.
But Maxim's always taken such good care of me. I never have to lift a hand. He carries me, puts me in my bed. He feeds me. He's always so kind. Kind.
It is the privilege of all strong people, my dear, to take care of the weaker.
Oh.
Come, my dear Serena. Off to bed with you.
Maxim, the lady heard it too. It's not my imagination.
It's the wind, my dear, in a faulty flue. I shall have it fixed tomorrow.
But I tell you, it has the sound of my son's voice.
Now, that imagination of yours again, my dear. You know that Paul is off at school. Now, say good night to Miss Lane and Mr. Cranston.
Good night, Miss Lane. Mr. Cranston.
Good night.
While we're waiting for the second act of The Valley of the Living Dead, here's a word to the wise. Homeowners, when you order fuel,
keep in mind that there's just as much of a difference between the quality of various kinds of hard coal as there is in an automobile, radio, or washing machine. This difference lies in the location of the fields from which the coal comes and the care in mining and preparation. That's why it will pay you to insist on blue coal when you order your next supply of fuel. For blue coal is a guaranteed product of the nation's largest hard coal producer, the Glen Alden Coal Company. Their mines are located in the richest part of the northern Pennsylvania anthracite field. Each ton of blue coal as it comes from the mines is screened and rescreened many times for perfect sizing. Then it's washed to remove any existing impurities and laboratory tested by trained inspectors. Only the coal which passes this thorough laboratory test and meets Glen Alden's high quality is shipped to blue coal dealers. That's why you can be sure of perfect heating comfort and satisfaction when you order quality tested blue coal by name. You'll find that blue coal gives you steadier, more dependable heat. So call your nearest blue coal dealer tomorrow. His name is listed in the Where to Buy It section of your classified telephone directory under the words blue coal.
Father? Oh, I thought you'd never come.
But, Paul, my son, don't I always come?
Oh, this steel cast. Can't we take it off?
Not yet, my boy. To remove it too soon would mean that you'd never walk again.
I don't care. I don't care. It's now. It's the pain now that I can't stand.
I know what is best for you, Paul.
But it's getting worse. I can't rest. I can't sleep.
Come now. You must.
Oh, if I only could and never wake up.
There. That is better. Patience. Patience. I'll turn the light low. There. Good night, my son. Sleep. Sleep.
I'm glad he's gone. I'll get this cast off somehow. Even if it does cripple me, I don't care.
Let me help you, Paul.
Who spoke? Where are you?
Don't be frightened. I've come to help you.
Nothing can frighten me anymore. But I can't see you.
I can sometimes help people better because I'm not seen.
Oh, I don't know what you mean, but can you really help me? I mean, take the test off.
Yes, Paul, right away. Tell me, how long have you had it on?
Nearly 2 years. I was away at school and had an accident. My father came to see me. Well, I don't remember much about that part. But a doctor said that I would have to have this cast put on.
A doctor said that?
Well, yes. My father told me he did.
Here, trust me now. I want you to try to stand.
But I can. My father says I can.
I want you to try.
All right. I'll try. Oh, I'm standing.
Good boy. That's what I wanted to know. You have two strong, healthy legs. They're growing against steel that clamps them like a vice. This cast is coming right off.
It's off. Oh, but my legs, they feel numb.
Steady, Paul. The pain will soon be gone. You'll be well again. Well again, boy. Oh, yours is not the only bondage to be broken tonight.
Ah, Margot, it's good to get out in the air. Now, down these stone steps. Watch out. I'm steep.
Lamont, tell me, that dreadful cry, was that...
Yes, my son, Margot. I was able to relieve his sufferings,
though. Oh, thank heaven for that. But down in the village, all those people, what can you do for them?
If their suffering has been great enough, I'll make them help themselves. Watch out. It's the last step. Yeah, that's it.
There isn't a light anywhere. Everyone in this village is asleep.
That's it, Margot. Everyone has been asleep too long. But with luck, I hope to awaken their minds to this living death.
Not a sound anywhere, Lamont. Except that coyote off in the hills.
The villagers sleep, Marjorie. But they do not rest. Come, I'll show you how their tortured subconscious minds react.
This place of living dead, this silence, beats on my ears like the drums of eternity.
And in the next house and the next, Margot, I must go to them as they sleep in the shadows. Try to free them from this bondage of submission.
The mills. I hear them. The good, honest roar of machinery. The white heat of the furnaces. There's a fine strength in me. And I'm to have a raise of a dollar at the end of the week. No, that's past and gone. I've become as soft as something that lies rotting in the sun. There is no hope. I am dead. Dead.
No. No, my friend, you're alive. And you can be strong again.
What? Who spoke? Who said that?
God put muscles in a man's body for use, for work.
Work? Yes, work. But we are dead.
Not while there is work to be done, and you can do it.
Oh, I've dreamed that dream until I'm nearly mad.
Then go to the mines. They wait only for your courage to start them working.
No. No, we can't do that. Mr. Maxim has forbidden it.
Wake up, man. He has given you what only money can buy. He has taken from you what only God can give. Your freedom. Start working the mines tonight.
Start working the mines tonight. Start working the mines tonight. Start working the mines tonight.
Lamont, there are lights now in every house.
Yes. And over there, lanterns swinging to the quick step of men hurrying to the mines. Give me your hand, Margot. We've no time to lose. We're almost at Maxim's castle.
You think in a single night you will have destroyed Maxim's self-created world.
As well as that, Margot, everything on which his ego has fattened. Listen, the people are wasting no time. Hurry. Here, I'll help you. Up these steps. Quickly. Quickly, Margot, quickly. This is Maxim's room, Margot. You stay back. I don't know what danger lies behind this door. But as the shadow, I'll soon find out.
After all I've done for them, they betray my generosity. Men and women alike, they're crowded down at the mines by the hundreds. I'm going out to the balcony to observe them more clearly.
Maxim, what's happened? Why are you so angry?
Mrs. Maxim.
Oh,
don't be startled. I'm here to help you. Listen closely. This is a fight for freedom.
Oh, who speaks? It's all such a strange dream.
Do as I tell you without questioning. Rise out of your bed, out of your weakness, and fight as those people down at the mines are starting to fight.
But I can't rise. I can't walk. Not without Maxim's help.
You can. You shall. You've got to fight out of the weakness to strength and freedom.
Yes. Yes. Fight out of weakness to strength and freedom. I can. I will stand.
I see their game. They want a freedom apart from me. But they shan't have it. I stopped them before. I'll stop them again.
No, Maxim. Don't stop them this time. Don't.
Serena. You standing alone. How dare you stand alone without my help?
I'd rather die, Maxim. Standing alone as God intended me to stand, than go on in a living death of the weakness that comes of your constant support.
You too. After all I've done, devoted my life to you, what madness is in this place tonight?
Madness is lifting from this place tonight, Maxim.
What? What is that voice? Who speaks?
Perhaps it is your conscience speaking, Maxim. Your conscience.
Serena, what is that voice? Do you hear it? Or is this whole thing some crazy dream?
I only know that I can stand alone and move alone. And if it's a dream, I hope I never wake.
Listen closely, Maxim. Your conscience speaks again. You gave these poor creatures the things your millions could so easily buy. You felt great and noble and princely in the giving. And for that you robbed them of their strength of will and muscle and heart. It is a crime. Just as stealing money is a crime.
This is how they repay me, is it? They hurl my liberality back into my teeth and make it a reproach.
Maxim, you are consumed by selfishness. A selfishness so great that it has sacrificed 1,000 people and your wife and your son to its greedy demand.
It's a lie! My whole life has been devoted to others. My people know I love them. I'll go to them. I'll talk to them.
Will you also listen to them?
They will listen to me. And I will give them their choice of life. or death! Quiet! Quiet!
Where is Mr. Maxim? I'm on the stand!
Quiet! Stop those drills! I command you! Stop those drills!
No! We want to work! Yes, we want to work!
There is no need for you to work! I shall always provide for you. I have promised that. I have proved it.
We will earn money again to buy food if we earn to care for our family.
And I say you shall not. This valley is mine. And all who live here shall live as I order.
No. Let us work the mine. There's a way. Let us feel we've earned the right to live.
Have you so soon forgotten from what I saved you? That world outside where every man sets his hand against every other man? For money?
At least we do we live. Better that than this, where we grow soft with the rotting softness, and the hills and the silence close us in.
We want no more.
This valley is a fulfillment of a dream. For you.
It's a dream and nothing more. There is no life in it.
I tell you, I know what is best for you. If you will not accept life as I have given it to you, then you shall have death as I give it to you. I shall save them from themselves. A quick, merciful death. Yes, one turn of this lever, and in a few minutes the valley will be a deep and silent lake. Yes, one turn of the lever.
For the second time, Maxim, your conscience speaks.
Let it speak. I know what is best for my people.
You care nothing about those people.
How wrong you are, voice. I care enough about them to exterminate them all, rather than submit them to the corruption of an outside world. Just one turn of this handle.
Just one turn of that handle, and you would be a murderer.
The ungrateful have no right to live.
Close those gates before it is too late. You have no right to pronounce death. For if there's a guilty man in this valley today, you are that man.
I guilty? Of what am I guilty?
You attempted to buy the freedom of 1,000 people, Maxim. To force them to the knees before you. And to keep them there for the rest of their lives.
No, I didn't mean it that way. Just leave it. I'm upset it back. The rush of water against the gate is too strong. I can't turn it.
Maxim, I'm here. Cranston. Lamont Cranston. Here beside you.
Oh, Cranston, I'll help you. Before it's too late.
Yes, together, our combined strength.
Help. They shall live.
Maxim, what's wrong? There's blood on your lip.
Something in me is broken. The weight of closing the gate.
Here, lean on me.
Wait. Look, Cranston, look. Coming there. Walking toward me. Look. Walking. My wife and my son.
Yes, walking. Here, Maxim, take my arm.
No, Cranston, I am dying. I gave my life closing those gates. Saving my people. Tell them that. Tell my wife and son.
Please lean on me. Let me help you to your feet.
No, look. The weaker I grow, the more strongly they walk. My wife and son, they are getting back what I took away.
You're a great man at this moment, Maxim. And listen, down by the mines as the water recedes, they're cheering you, Maxim.
Yes, I hear them cheering me.
And they are the cheers of a living and a free people.
Before you hear a preview of next week's Shadow Story, here's John Barclay, Blue Coal's heating expert, with more of his time and trouble-saving hints on furnace care and attention. Mr. Barclay.
Thank you, Ken Roberts, and good afternoon, friends. A great many homeowners are under the impression they can save money by putting only a little coal on the furnace. On the contrary, that's one of the surest ways I know to actually waste money. A flimsy, shallow fire is apt to go out. It won't give you enough heat, and it causes constant trips to the cellar to refuel the fire. The economical way to fire your furnace is to keep a deep fire bed at all times. Build the fire up to the level of the bottom of the fire door. Of course, in milder weather, you can leave a little heavier layer of ash on the grates. This keeps the fire burning slowly. Yet it keeps enough coal burning to give plenty of heat if the temperature should suddenly drop. And remember, if you feel your furnace isn't giving you 100% heating results, here's what you do. Phone your nearest Blue Coal dealer. Ask him to send a John Barclay serviceman to look over your furnace. These men are trained heating experts. They're fully qualified to locate the source of any possible furnace trouble and show you how it can be corrected. This John Barclay service is yours without any charge or obligation of any sort on your part. So always feel free to call your blue coal dealer. I thank you.
And now for a preview of next week's exciting Shadow adventure entitled Prelude to Terror. The eminent scientist, Professor Baker, is sitting in his study late one night when there is a knock on the door. Thinking it is his butler, Cooper, he says...
Come in, Cooper. Oh, I thought it was Cooper.
Shut up, Professor Baker.
I got a present for you.
Here's what the boss wants. And before he's through, the people of this city will wish they were dead like you, Professor Baker.
Why did this man kill Professor Baker? For what reason does he say an entire city will welcome death? Be sure to find out next week when you hear the Shadow's newest adventure, Prelude to Terror. Today's program is based on a story copyrighted by the Shadow magazine. All the characters and all the places named are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. The Shadow magazine is now on sale at your local newsstand.
The weed of crime bears bitter fruit. Crime does not pay. The Shadow knows.
Next week, same time, same station, Blue Coal, America's finest anthracite, will again present another thrilling adventure of The Shadow. Be sure to listen, and be sure to burn Blue Coal, the solid fuel for solid comfort.
Thanks for listening to Radio America, broadcast from the heart of Charlotte, North Carolina. We hope you've enjoyed our show as much as we have bringing it to you. If you have any ideas for upcoming shows, or would like to be a guest, or support this great broadcast, email us at radioamerica@inbox.com. That's radioamerica@inbox.com. Also, we're pleased to announce that we'll be offering CDs of great old-time radio shows. You'll get 50 different shows in MP3 format on CD for the low price of just $5 per CD, which includes shipping. For more information, email us at radioamerica@inbox.com. We'll see you next time on Radio America.